Boy, you listen to that first reading and Job whining and complaining. I was thinking, he needs a happy hour. Or Zoloft or something. Thank goodness for that beautiful psalm that sort of counteracted that downer. But we pick up Mark's gospel today. First, there was last week an exorcism in the synagogue. Now there's a healing in a home. Perhaps the places are significant for Mark, but you can think about that later, but always pay attention to the places. Now it's still the first chapter, Mark's gospel, and like most literature, the characters and the themes are being introduced at the very beginning so that we can get a kind of sense of what's going on. And we get here a movement from synagogue to home, and from the home to where? The desert, okay? Much of this gospel is going to move between those three locations. Now, the pairing of an exorcism and a healing is a preview of things to come, as well as the behavior of the disciple and the pressing crowds. The disciples, they want to control Jesus. They see their role as his manager. It's going to take a long time to move them out of that role. The crowds see him as a wonder worker, and they're going to run all over the place to see what he does and what he can do for them. There's not a lot of interest in what he has to say, which is what leads him to insist that he has come to proclaim the good news. It strikes me that little has changed since that day in Peter's home, making this gospel as relevant today as it was then. To put it simply, Mark is telling us that we cannot let our relationship with Jesus be based upon what he can do for us or what we can get out of it. Those crowds would not look beyond the material signs. So Jesus insists to the disciples, "I came to proclaim the good news. That's what I'm here for." The signs and wonders he performed were done to draw people into that kingdom, to awaken them to the reality and the presence of that kingdom, and then to lead them to conversion and repentance of life that's required for that kingdom. There's something deeper, more important going on with these signs and wonders. These healings and casting out of demons, they're like visual aids, making the kingdom real and perceptible. Driving out of demons is releasing people from the kingdom of darkness. The preaching comes first, and as the truth of this gospel begins to enlighten people's minds, the demons can no longer maintain their hold. So when Jesus enters the home of Peter, there's something very significant. But if we don't ask, what does this mean? We cannot grasp what Jesus is saying and doing there. Mark uses a word that is the clue. The Greek word, represented in English by "helped her up," is the same word that's used by St. James in his epistle, which we use in the anointing of the sick. The ritual quotes James and says, "The power of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise them up." Now, the word has a lot of meanings. It could mean wake, it could mean raise, it could mean help to raise, it could mean relieve. It also can be restore to life. We shouldn't limit the word to a single meaning, but should use all the meanings. The mother-in-law gets up and begins to serve the guests. The very presence of Jesus restores this woman to her life of service. In fact, the Greek word used by Mark to describe waiting on them is diakonia. Mark's not just talking about household tasks. He's referring to the service in the sense of ministry. From now and for the rest of this year, for that matter, we're going to explore Mark's gospel. And we would do very well to keep asking, what does this mean? Even more so, we might take a serious look at how we relate to and what we expect of Jesus Christ. Getting all pious and prayerful when we want something without listening and responding to what he says puts us in the category of those crowds who never looked beyond the signs to being the repentance and conversion that's required for the kingdom of God. Finally, in the last verse today, there's an invitation. Let's move on to the neighboring villages. The us here is not Jesus speaking of himself in the plural. It describes the role of disciples, of those in diakonia. Spoken here today in this church, the gospel calls us all to a more intentional discipleship and a share in the very word of Jesus Christ, which is a work of healing, of restoring, of liberating, and of lifting up.